Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
You will set your people free. Both the speaker and the hearer will be truly blessed, and in eternity we'll walk that street of gold. We would see you face to face, and we will not be ashamed, in Jesus' name. Amen. Table for Kings, which kind of confirmed what has been in my heart. Pastor has been talking to us a lot about Joseph. So Joseph through the person of Esther. So this morning I want us to read the book of Esther. Verse 1, our team is like Table for Kings. I don't know if I can also say that's my topic, but as I speak, I'm going to also highlight some of the things that stood out to me. So we are looking first at Esther chapter 1 from verse 1. I just want us to see how the setup of a kingdom is. There is a way of kings. There is a manner of the palace. So from verse 1, it says that that's Esther chapter 1 from verse 1. It says that from his royal throne in Persia, capital city of Susa, King Xerxes ruled 127 provinces all the way from India to Ethiopia. In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his officials and administrators. The armies of Persia and Media were present, as well as the governors and noblemen of the provinces. For 6 whole months, he made a show of all the riches of his imperial court with all its splendor and majesty. After that, the king gave a banquet for all the people in the capital city of Susa, rich and poor alike. It lasted a whole week and was held in the gardens of the royal palace. The courtyard there was decorated with blue and white curtains tied by cords of fine purple linen to silver rings or marble columns. One of the things I used to say every time I read the book of Esther is that if you are an interior decorator, this is a book you should read often. I say that if you're a lawyer, you should read the book of Acts, because you would understand how to make quality arguments. Verse 6, it says, the courtyard there was decorated with blue and white curtains tied by cords of fine purple linen to silver rings or marble columns. Couches made of gold and silver had been placed in the courtyard, which was paved with white marble, red flat spar, shining mother of pearl, and blue turquoise. Drinks were served. So all those blue turquoise, cockroach brown, it actually did not start with us, you get. So drinks were served in gold cups. No two of them alike. Are you seeing those specifications? So when they bring out the cups like this, there's something distinct about each cup. We are still looking at the setup of a palace. It's a table of kings, right? So let's continue. It says, and the king was generous with the royal wine. So when you look at a king, the king is magnanimous. If you are a stingy king, you are not a king. If you are a stingy sister, a brother, you're not ruling. Because if we look at Revelation, it says that he has made us kings and priests. Even the Bible affirms that God is able to make all grace abound to you, having all you need on every occasion. Pastor used to say something that if you're the type of guy that you're not so boxed up, don't lack everything. At least have the word of the Lord. There are these guys, I think they are the willows, I guess. There's this joke that the lady went out to do something. So when she came back home, the guy said, did my spirit not follow you? And the guy was giving her specification, at exactly this time you did this. She was like, maybe it was just a coincidence. Then he went further. You picked this particular call, follow this particular person. I think they were just trying to depict why it is interesting to date a prophet. And the girl was like, what exactly is it? Why are you monitoring me? And you know, that actually resounded a lot, because I felt like even though the guy was not rich, at least he was rich in the Holy Ghost to know that So the girl was at least afraid of him. Like, I beg, please, you'll be monitoring me now. So please, don't. This is to say that we don't all have things the same way, but there's something given to every man. And if you have found that thing, please use it. I think I was saying recently, I was saying that in my current establishment, we do hybrid. Then in my previous establishment, we don't do hybrid, but we do celebrations. Pastor Wumi can bear with witness. Anything, if you say word cultural day, God, we will go all out. So, but I noticed that in my new establishment, if you do those things, you just look all serious. Like, you look like you are not working. So I was now telling somebody that, God, it was that my former establishment that understood this type of assignments. Like, we will have a whole week. We will do color palettes, white and gold, panatone of silver. Brother Johnny Uji might know that. We do panatone. We will represent our brand in every way. If you can bring the elephant self, we will bring it to parade. I'm saying all of that to say that in that scene, we had this particular team. Every time this team shows up, we actually say, this is the team of the bank. Like, they come correct. Suit, ladies and guys are like, heels. Like, when they, and we have what we call early morning briefing. So I didn't know that I was not actually the only one that has noticed that particular team. So we are in permanent teams, we show up every morning. Their own team runs a rotation. One of those days, one of my colleagues said, please, what team is briefing today? Then somebody mentioned the name of that team. She was like, Omo, I'm going for a briefing. Those people, then they dress, now they dress, and I won't go look. And I was like, seriously? So I realized that the reason that particular team usually have a large number in briefing is just because of their dressing. It's not because of what they are saying. Some other teams, it's because of the presentation. You know, Pastor Kenny will come, a project management, just, these people, they like Oyinbo. But that particular team, they put more than every other team just because of their dressing. And I'm like, for the first time, it just occurred to me that your dressing can be your superpower. And Pastor says this thing, that everything is a weapon. So, you know, if you tell me I look good, I will smile back at you. How are you today? My name is Clementina. And I will just start the conversation because I know that we are going to come back to that conversation. And that reminded me of something that happened to me yesterday. Pastor used to say this thing about our attitude of responding to the word of God. So I was out yesterday and the person that got married has been very instrumental to my career. So I told myself I was going to go all out, makeup, gele, and all. So when I got to the place I wanted to do the makeup, the person was not there. I'd seen this person hustling me to tie my gele, and I was like, no, I want to do my makeup first before the gele. So I came back to her and said that, okay, she can tie the gele. As she started tying it, I said, it came to my heart to ask her if she was married. So I asked, I said, are you married? She said, before she could answer, there was a woman at the back that said, do you want to give her husband? So I kept quiet. Then she said to me, she said, I'm not married, and I just wanted to know why you asked. I said, because it occurred to me that I should pray for you. And that was what came to my mind to pray for you about. So she was like, please, oh, pray. Then she now said, the woman standing behind me now said, I'm actually waiting on you to tie Agili so that you can tie mine. The lady said, no, don't worry. I want to tie this particular gele very well so that when she says the prayers, it will answer. You know, when she even said that, I did not, like, because it was, so in that moment, I'm like that. If you, somebody says, I used to pray like I was waiting to be called to pray. If you say, Sister Abusayo, pray for, I would just say, my Father and our Lord, like, that's how I pray. So I don't know, I just pray like that. So in that moment, as she was tying the gele, I just prayed, the Lord is going to say to you, it will not be late and something. So I prayed and I left. Then I was coming out of the event and I noticed that she ran after me and said, oh, I've been looking for you, I need you to pray for me. And she knelt down. This was a very busy, you know, immediately she did that, it was like I heard Pastor's voice behind me. You know, the way Pastor will say that there is a way you bless people that because of the quality of gift you have given them, they pray for you from the bottom of my heart. Oh, my God. I prayed with all my heart. And I know that God is going to answer our prayer. And as I prayed for her, I said to her, are you born again? Because I just felt like there was no going to be use for my prayers if she was not born again. Interestingly, she's a Muslim that just became a Christian. So I told her, I said, you know, I have to be somewhere else now. I'm going to collect your number and we're going to continue this conversation. I said that story to say that, see, what she was doing was gele tying. That gele actually was 500 naira. But the two things that she did that stood out to me, she wasn't, you know, at the point of tying my gele, she kind of neglected every other person. She said, and the gele was really good. I took a picture. I'm going to post it very soon. Like, she did that with all of her heart in a way that when there was reason for her to be blessed. I did not just bless her now because God has told me to bless her. I blessed her because I was even humbled by her reaction. I'm not sure if I was the one in that position, I would have, you know, there's a way you just see people, hi, Sarah, hello. But she was just so open and giving. And I'm saying all of this, we are still talking about table for kings, the manner of the palace. There's a way, there's a response when we come to the presence of God, when God gives us an instruction. What is our disposition? Are we always the person that God has to convince? He has to give you 10 reasons why. Like, why? If God has been doing that with you for a long time, his high time is stopped. God should be able to talk to you once. You hear it, you do it, and we move. Like, if this is the seasons of the Joseph, like, this is serious business. In fact, I wrote something. I said common denominators between Esther and Joseph. But before I get to the common denominators, let me quickly fast forward to the end where Joseph said, scripture recorded that after Jacob died, the brother said that now he would avenge us. So they said, let us go back to him and tell him that your father said that you should forgive your brother. So I don't know. Do we remember that story? It's a lot of scripture here. So I don't know how much time I have. So I'm not trying to read everything, but I'll try to summarize. He said that, you know, when they got there, if you read that passage of the Bible very well, maybe we should go there. That should be Genesis 50. Joseph said, he kind of felt sad by their conversation. He was like, no, it's like you have not gotten it. He said that God, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. But he did not stop there. He said, God sent me ahead of you to save lives. In fact, you know, for the first time yesterday, I realized that the same mission God gave to Joseph was the same mission he gave to Esther, was the same mission he gave to Jesus. And I'm going to explain. So Joseph said that God, can we go there? Genesis 50 from verse 1. If we can get the exact verse, please just project it. He was talking about, I think it should be 20. That's 50:20. He said 50:20. So he said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it out. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save people's life. When we come back to Esther, Mordecai said that, do not think that because you are in the king's palace, you and your household, he said, in fact, it might just be that you and your household will perish because God will raise somebody else to actually do the deliverance. He now said, maybe you have been brought to the palace for such a time as this. Scripture tells us about Jesus. It says that Jesus, like, even from his name, he came to do what? To save his people from their sins. You know, for the first time, it just occurred to me that, see, one of the reasons, and please, we can maybe have this Bible study later, about God saving us and keeping us to be saved is so that we can save lives. Do you know that every time I think about my business, the way I think about it is that every person that will encounter my business, and I'm talking from the employee's angle, by the time you are leaving, your confidence level has increased and there is no compromise. Because what will be the difference between my business and other people's business if I'm selling my team? Like because I am there. Have you worked with bosses that you advance as long as you're in their team? I've had a friend tell me that. He said, see, I'm very grateful that this was the boss I worked with, because if he was not this boss. And I have noticed it in my work. There are some bosses that you work with, you start to travel, you start to buy things. Your salary has not really increased, but your life just starts to organize. The people you talk to start changing. And there will be some bosses every time like this, query. And you'll be wondering, like, is it not this? You have not changed your desk. Your JD has not changed, but somebody came into your life and he reordered everything. So if you're in this business, see, and when I say this business, I mean the Joseph business. If God is raising Joseph, that means God is calling people to leadership. And please, when I say leadership, please don't take it as I have to be the CEO of something. No. Leadership starts with our home. I wrote a piece about one of my friends recently. There are 5 boys. When I was trying to gain admission into school, he actually housed us, or his parents housed us. But one of the things I noticed about my particular friend is that I noticed that all of his siblings is the first child, but they look up to him, not because he's the first child. He has built his life in a way like he dreams, he's tongue-talking, like everything about him. There's just something about him that when you see him, like, you kind of, this is my brother. Like, you are happy to show him off. And you know, I was like, this is leadership. Like, all his brothers, they ask for his opinion about everything. And please, it's not because he's firstborn. I can argue that. Because there are some firstborns that really, like, in fact, you are planning not to let them know. You want to get to that Canada first before you call that. Actually, we were talking yesterday, but I was traveling today. But, you know, we just did not get to that point of the conversation. But I know you are coming around soon. That's your way of encouraging them so that they will not go to Babalawo on your head. But, yeah. So I'm saying that to say that leadership is not, like, title-based. It's just any sphere you find yourself. When I was in school, I was the FYB coordinator, and one of the things God was telling me about our set, he said that God is going to raise from amongst us people that, even though they may be full housewives, but the quality of children they are going to raise will be... Have you met some people you are like, ah, no, I want to be your friend. Oh, God. I must be your friend, though. It's not, see, I know when I was growing up, they taught us this thing about attaching yourself to people. Don't do attaching. See, let me advise you, if you've met somebody in your life that is doing amazing stuff, there's no compromise in it, and you know that that person should be in your journey, stay there. I give you permission. Stay there. In fact, even if it's a brother, maybe, except you have expressly heard that it's not the one. If you have not heard, God has not said, stop chasing this brother. At least be in his presence. Let him be seeing you so that by the time he starts considering. No, I'm saying that. And please, don't take my word out of context. Let me quickly explain. I said something. This is very, very instructional. If you know that that person is supposed to be in your space, do you understand? You know that the person is supposed to be. What is the benefit of me disconnecting from Pastor Wumi if she will give me my first job? Who is losing? She has done it on every level. My first job, my first business deal. So why should I want to lose her? Like, if people of the world, they calculate if I enter this position. I'm telling you. See, very recently, we met somebody, and he was telling us why he left the U.S. to Nigeria. He came to Nigeria to pursue politics, and he told us everybody he met, everybody. He said, see, I went to this place, and I told him, I want the vote in this place. I want the vote in this place. I want the vote. And he said, even though he did not win that election, currently he's actually a big, like, shot in Lagos. But, you know, it just occurred to me that the guy from U.S. strategized, like, it's not like he was loafing in the U.S. He was doing well. But he just said to himself, I want to go back to Nigeria. What do I think I can do? And he made up his mind that politics, he drew up the names. He came, spoke to this person, told the person, I need this vote from this place. when he literally showed us how he moved. Like, I'll go to Pastor Tokbe. It's Pastor Tokbe that knows Pastor Kenny, and it's Pastor Kenny that can give me the vote. So I'll be Pastor Tokbe's friend with an instruction that Pastor Tokbe, this deal is just to show me to Pastor Kenny. And he went like that. And it's coming back to what I said earlier. If you know that somebody is supposed to be in your journey, there's no reason for you to lose them. And please, don't now take this as, okay, Kolobi the sister for yourself or Kolobi the brother for yourself. No. Just know that if you know that this person is supposed to be in your journey, at least be in the person's journey. Like, be in proximity. Do you understand? It doesn't matter if you live in the same city or not. At least, if it's their birthday, you can do some. Make sure. I don't know if this is making sense. Make sure. Even God. See. Do you think that if God for once closed his eyes over the earth, you think that the devil will not damage everything? When you give, the devil doesn't, I wrote it here. I said, the devil doesn't ask for a foothold. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Have you given your mind to something before? There's this show I watch. Very, 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 very uninteresting show. And I say uninteresting because there's nothing about that show that glorifies God. But for some reason, you know, our pastor, we say that he sat down in his sitting room and he spent like 1 hour and the Bible was moving. The Bible was moving. And the Bible moved to a place that I was saying, please, where is my Bible in this house? Like, and every time I tell myself that, please, convince me. I'm the one asking myself. Oh, I say, give me just two reasons why you are watching this show. Nothing. I'm sure I'm watching. So why do you still keep watching this show? Nothing. I just want to learn the mindset of people, how they think. Like, I'm now trying to find reasons why I'm watching the show. I'm wasting my time. Oh. These people, they are getting paid, though, because it's a very big franchise in the U.S. They are getting paid for doing drama on that show, but I'm watching. So I'm saying all of that to say that if God actually did close his eyes on the earth and allowed the devil, see, there will be nothing left. God is working actively, and everywhere is scattered like this. Please, God will help us in Jesus' name. Verse 8 says, that's Esther verse Chapter 1, verse 8, he said, there was no limit on the drinks. The king had given orders to the palace servants that everyone could have as much as they wanted. This will actually bring me back to what I was saying about the common denominators. But before we come to the common denominators, so common denominators are things that are mutually similar. So when you look at two people, what they share in common. But the first thing I quickly learned about Esther was that until Mordecai spoke over her to say that maybe you were brought to the palace for such a time as this, she was not conscious of it. Unlike Joseph was very, very conscious of his journey. And I think that if God has called us to a season of Joseph, the very first thing we have to know that we need to be conscious of our journey. So the very first part of this message I'm going to say is, please, if God is not yet the Lord of your life, Scripture says that if we believe the Lord in our heart and we confess him with our mouth, we'll be saved. If you don't have that platform yet, I want to please beg you. I want to implore you. I'm here now. You can just close your eyes. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe in your Son. I declare I am saved. Amen. That's just all. Then now let's move to the other part, which is talking about now that we are in Christ. So what are we doing with our being in Christ? Like, what is the importance? Please, I want us to know that God is intentional about us. So it is high time we became intentional about him. Like, because I was just looking at it that really, Joseph did not, you know why it was easy for Joseph to let go? It was because he knew who sent him. He knew that it was not his brothers that sent him. And that's even a way that God began to tell me that. Recently, God began to tell me that, see, if you really have a Christian marriage, and what Christian marriage means is that, number one, you believe in the Lord Jesus both, and you both submit to God. He said your marriage should not fail. You know, when he told me that, I thought about it and I said, it's true. Have you ever, please, I need you to show your hands. Have you ever been in a situation where something happened between you and somebody and you felt the need to apologize? Have you ever been that? Like, now, I'm not even talking about if you apologized or not, but you just felt like you should apologize. Anybody? Okay. Please, no, keep your hands. Don't drop your hand. In that situation, if you apologized, leave your hands up. Like, if you did apologize, okay, that's fair. Thank you very much. We can all drop our hands. After you did that apology, how did you feel? Free. Okay. Any other? Let me tell you one of those scenarios I've had. So, I apologized, and the person came back to me. The person was actually my school son. He came back to me and said that, you know, I have never had somebody older than me apologize to me for what they've done to me that was wrong. I don't know if you heard what I said. He said, I have never, and that's one of the things I don't like about Yoruba culture. If you are younger, you always apologize, even if you are not wrong. He said that I have never had somebody older than me apologize to me about what they did to me that was wrong. Fast forward to maybe 3 years after, my school son got married very early. I did not expect that I was going to get married. But he's one of the finest husbands and fathers. The things he does for his family, I've never seen that expression of him. And I think that the foundation for that began from our interaction. Because I feel, I have not verified this from him, but I feel that maybe by what I did, if he's in his house and he does something wrong to his wife, and he remembers that, my school mother has apologized to me before, he will apologize to her, and that issue will dissolve. Do we? Then, have you ever been in a situation that something happened, or everybody, I had my perception on the matter, the other person had their perception on the matter. After a very long time, you came to discuss about that matter, and you saw that it was just all, like, and that thing almost destroyed the relationship. See, that is the work of the devil. And that is why intentionality now matters more than ever before. How we speak over people. Scripture says that we should speak to one another in kindness. You know, it just occurred to me that way too. There's this girl I follow online. She's an etiquette coach. And people criticize her a lot. So she did a particular video where the guy came back home late. She just came. I think you should go and check her out. So let me mention her name. Her name is Winifred. She does, I think it's Etiquette by Winnie, something like that. Just look her up on YouTube. But that particular video, when the guy came back home, he came very late. She just went to the door. Le-le-le-le. You are this, you are that, you are this. The guy just looked at her. When he was tired, he used one hand to carry her, put her on the sofa, and went into the room. Then in that same video, she was trying to, like, just do a scenario based. She kind of, when the guy came, she went to the door, took his shirt. Like, she not did like this. Like, I've been calling your phone. The guy was like, I was in a meeting. I'm so sorry, but I'm here now. You know, when I watched that video, I was like, who even lied to us that fighting will always get us what we want? Because, like, the response was so different. I was imagining that was a real scenario. That means the first one that day, two things will happen. The guy will either sleep in the room, lock the door, because your wife is too much. You're already shouting. He will either lock himself in the room. You people will not talk that night, right? Then in the morning, depending on who wakes up early first, it's either he sneaks out or, do you understand? Then that thing will now fester. Maybe somewhere in between is one of you's birthday, but the person is not even happy to buy you anything. I don't know. Please, why are we looking at me like the person will not buy you anything? Even if the person buys it for you, the person is just doing it out of before you will now carry his gist again and put it on your status that some people are men, some people are menless. You just like. This is my wife. But do you know that in the other scenario, like, The guy just explained himself. He was like, I've been in a meeting all day. I'm sorry, I could not. And the whole issue just died, and everybody just moved on. Nobody died. Please. I say all of that to say that in the season of Joseph, we have to be very, very intentional, and everything we do, we count. How we talk over our kids. I remember, I think it was this year, that Pastor was encouraging parents to pray and anoint their children. Me, I don't have any child, but I have roommates. I carried anointing. I anoint you in the name of Jesus. You are blessed. I'm serious, because I think one of the things, I have a lot of coaches, but one of my coaches that I love a lot, she's a personal branding coach. One of the things she tells us is that the way you build your muscle is by giving yourself to do the difficult things. So why should you wait till you have those children to start the anointing? Start with yourself. You put your hand on yourself. I anoint myself. It's true, because when you have made a practice of it, it's easy for you to just see your son, like, and bless them. Like, it becomes a lifestyle. In the season of Joseph, Joseph was very intentional. He knew that God was sending him on this assignment. And I'm not saying that he knew from when he grew up. But the moment he realized that this is my calling, his approach was very intentional. Do you know, it just occurred to me that even though Joseph was in Egypt, he only married one woman and he had just two sons. I think that is a big deal, because he approached his presence in that place with consciousness. I think the person he even got married to was the daughter of a priest. So, like, that was him keeping the priesthood, at least. Who in this? And you know before, when you're looking at things on the outside, it's different though than when you're inside. You know, if you have asked, I was telling Pastor Dave recently, I traveled. I told myself, I'm not economy. Like, if I have money, I'm doing first class. Because the treatment is different. Even the queue, God, they don't check you. Hey, God. I say, Jesus, everybody, hey, God, we will not suffer in Jesus' name. If you should see how economy's queue was long. First class like this, they were just coming. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. I say, good. They not even pity some of us. When they were, economy people were overwhelmed. They now say, let's move some people to first class. I say, God, my destiny. Why did I stay in the middle, God? They moved. They later moved people to first class, because first class people were just lounging. They were not checking anybody. Because as they come, they just, welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. I say, hey, God. We will open box. They will check the color of our passport. I say, no. Not again. And I'm saying that because when you have experienced something, there's something that I think it was Paul that said that because we have tasted the word of life, we know there's difference. See, one of the reasons I think the devil is fighting so hard is because he knows that the place he lost, he can never get it. Then there's now Sister Fatima. She likes fashion. But God is giving her this part on a platter of gold. That's it. This is your fashion business. Keep it, though. But you will do things for me. And the devil is like, even though I was adorned with all of these things, but I'm never going to access it again. Do you know how painful it is? When maybe you get to the office, somebody that got there after you, they now made the person your boss. It will take a lot of, you get humility, maturity, God speaking to you that I have not forgotten you. God has to be reminding you on that journey, I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten you. Your own time will come for you to be able to work with that person, because you are like, I knew when this person came. I was the one that set up this person's pinnacle. This person asked me questions until the person became my boss. So now look at us and devil. Do you know what promises God has in store for us? Not only in this life, but in the life to come. You are now saying the devil will be your friend. What is the reason you think that if the devil is presenting you something, it will be to your advantage? How? The devil can never present you anything that will be to your advantage. He won't. So there's no need talking to him. There's no need. Please, let's look at Genesis 39, 1 to 23. So here I said, please, once the it comes up, let me know. It's, I said, there is a way of kings. There is a manner of the palace. I said that. And I said that there are unconventional ways God leads men. Okay. So now we saw in Genesis, it said, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there too. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. The first thing I want to highlight was that God was with him. You know, one of the things that I think that is causing a lot of stress in our generation is that we look at it superficial a lot. So, see, go to 2. Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Please, how many of us believe that when we get born again, God gives us the gift of his spirit? Please, if you do, please just raise up your hand. So, do you think that spirit is different from the Holy Spirit? I need our responses, please. No. So, why do you think that God is not with you? I just want us to look at the simplicity of God's word. These days, when I read the Bible, it kind of humbles me a lot. You know, there was a time we used to read the Bible and you say, Rev. But no, it's just like, the Lord was with Joseph. Then he will ask me a question that, Busayo, do you have the Holy Spirit? I'll say yes. So am I with you? Yes. I don't know if you understand. Like, please, I need our responses. If we cannot agree on these things, there's no reason for us to keep continuing this service. Because you know why it is easy for us to flip? Like, why it looks like our life is compartmentalized? It's because when I want to sow my ashwebi, I want to be the Gen Z body. So I will now tell them, slit it to this place. I'm like, but for why will I do that when the Lord is with me? I can look good, show up, and you will still notice me. I will still be a showstopper, but I've not exposed anything. And please, before you criticize me, please, just look at it by yourself that, is the only option available to you? Like, can we dress, can we look good and still be modest? So is it a good option? In fact, it gives you multiple options. You can wear that clothes to church. You can wear it for dinner. You can wear. But once you start doing this long slits now, that one, you will not wear it to church. Then you have to buy another one in case they say, you know that there are some ways you just feel like, it's like my boss is going out today. If he's going out and he tells me to, I don't know if you have been in that situation. Your boss says, we are going to Marina. You just say, hey, God. The first thing is that, God, how am I dressed? But imagine that if, because this chapter 2, we are still on chapter 2, because the Lord is with you and you showed up correct, like, you don't have to stress or, did I dress well? Is it long enough now? Sorry, oh, sisters, I'm not called. We are together. So, did I dress well? Is it long enough now? Can I still use scarf? It's okay to use scarf, but you understand what I mean. I'm saying that because it says the Lord was with Joseph. My only point from this place is that as long as we have the Holy Spirit, the Lord is with us and is able to instruct and teach us. Please, let's continue. 3 now says that. I think I will just read from my Bible. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Who saw it? Who saw it? Please, can we make a commitment to be that type of person that people want to roll with? I don't know. And when I say roll, people want to do things with you because they will be successful. Have you heard that thing in the office? They will just say, once it comes to, everybody has their area of specialization. My own is presentation. My boss will just say, see, we are going to ARM. Let Clementina do the presentation. The moment I noticed that was my strength, I found it to flame. I rehearse my pitch every time. Like, I rehearse my pitch. All the people that are working on our product, all of them, they are my friends. So I tell them, So what is the economic importance of this product? How do I sell this product to this? Like, if I'm saying this because a lot of times we are looking to learn more things. You don't need to learn more things. Sister Adeola, that tiger nut juice, you will now do your research and now see this tiger nut juice. How will I make it that it will not settle? I don't know if you understand that. Anytime you put it in a standing position, the composition, that will be your unique selling point. Don't worry, you don't have to shake it. People say shake before you drink. You tell them you don't have to shake it, just drink it like that. We complicate things. People are saying shake before you drink. You come out to say you don't have to shake it, just drink it. It will not settle. That can be your unique selling point. It doesn't have to be complex. He said the master saw. They will now see that this tiger nut, they will be the one ordering. They will say, we are booked. See, I saw one wedding. You know, the way I convinced myself, I told myself, I will only attract the clients that can pay me. I saw one wedding, and I saw the number of vendors. We had Hype Man. We had Orishirishi. We had Small Chops. We had Mixi. I'm saying it as different vendors. Don't look at it like the same product line. Like, there's a vendor for Hype Man. There is DJ. There is Grill. There is Milkshake. There is Sister Peace Department. There, what is that thing? That's two things you used to do. Sandwich. There is Small Chops. Then there's this fish that they used to. There's that one. This is just food though. In the guys that are recording, there's the videographer. There is the drone flyer. They will not say they don't have budget for us. No, now. We charge in dollars, sir. Don't worry, we will do a good job. I don't know if you get. I'm just saying that people pursue what they value, and you don't have to be for everybody. Do the work, keep talking about it, and the master saw that I'm going to keep this guy. Do you know that people book fashion designers ahead, makeup artists ahead? They will say, this thing I'm wearing when the lag. Ma, the production time is 2 months. Add me to the wait list. I've paid in full. The master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. You know one of the things God told me? He said, you don't take God's word seriously. He said, if scripture says that and the Lord made all that he did to prosper, have you ever thought about it that it's possible for you never to lose any deal? The implication of that is that if there is a deal that you will enter that is not for you, you will not enter it. I said, God, I like the soft life. There's a confession I've added to my confession. I say, hi, it is the will of God for me to live a soft life. That's how I say it. Once things are getting hard, I'll just say, it is the will of God for me to live a soft life. And people are happy. They are joining me to say, they say, hey, Clementina, it is the will of God for me to live a soft life. Even my roommates, you say, see, I know you don't like stress. I said, you understand. It is the will of God for me to live a soft life. He said, the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. That means God is able to instruct you to say, take this one, don't take it. Like, this is how you should talk to this person. You know, you can enter a meeting and just know that this deal is not my deal. So, and when you know that it's not your deal, you can ask the Lord for the wisdom to turn it down. Because the devil will also want to make sure that you do it so that they will not come to Twitter and drag you. It's not your brand. Do you understand? You will ask the Lord for wisdom. God, how should... Because I think another thing that is happening to us is that we are looking at Joseph in a way that in our lives, we start with God. Then once we get a hang of it, do you understand? Like if you maybe are a Serena Williams, you've been playing now, you've gone to Wimbledon, French Open, you just like, it's like every other game. But no, if you come with the mindset of, this is another game. Like, God, should I pursue? God can say, stick to your left. And all the serve, I used to watch Serena Williams a lot at some point. All the serve, I don't think she plays her matches almost the same because she is not even playing the same person. So there's a way they count that thing. They will say it's a deal or something breaker. Then she will stand at a particular position. There are some people she's playing. She will stand at a particular position. She's not going to move from there. That's where she's taking the serve from. First serve, second serve, and it's a wrap. I'm saying that because God has an opinion on every matter, especially if you are working with God. Like I think the burden in my heart is that, see, as we close out the rest of this year, we should choose to be intentional because it was God that said it. Though, you know, it's humbling to know that it is God that will give you a word. It is God that will go ahead of you to do it. It is God that will still now come beside you to walk with you to achieve it. So where in our journey did we think that now I've gotten the recipe for this tiger nut, I think I can handle the rest? We do that a lot, and I want to please beg us to stop it. We should involve God in every matter. When I say every matter, at least, I know that some people will argue that you don't need God to pick your dress, and I agree with you, but at least if it is important to your destiny, do you understand? If it is important to your destiny, ask God about it. God, should I go out with this person? If he says no, leave it. Like, it's not going to cost us anything. And when I'm saying leave it, I'm saying leave it from the position of God has in himself the capacity to help us to say no. I think it's in Titus, it says that the grace of God that giveth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching men to say no to ungodliness. The day I found that scripture, I'm like, compromise is not in my DNA. Yes, compromise. He said, the grace of God that teaches salvation has appeared to all men, teaching men to say no to ungodliness. Do you know what that means? That you have the capacity to say no. Do you understand? You have the capacity to live above compromise. Why are we settling for less than the best? This morning, I just want to encourage us. I wrote a lot of things here, but I want to encourage us that, number one, the common denominator between Esther and Joseph was, number one, favor. And it is God that gives favor. Number two, and this is where I think sometimes it gets tricky. I said, when you look at Joseph, he was in an unbelieving nation. When you look at Esther, she was married to an unbelieving king. But neither of them, none of those things brought them down. So, because I want us to begin to look at our journey and begin to see that it doesn't matter what mountain you have, mountain of media, mountain of politics, mountain of, there is a capacity in God on your inside for you to live above that. Did we see how the testimony of Esther ended? Scripture says that after Haman had plotted, and she said to the king, come to a banquet, and the king granted her wish. Scripture said, you know that God is very interesting. And I quickly want to just say this, that scripture says that if we do good and we do not give up, we will reap the reward. Scripture has recorded about Mordecai that he uncovered a coup to plan the king. And I wrote it here too, that please, it's important to keep records and give credit when credit is due. They said that particular act was recorded, right? And the king could not sleep. Then they said, let them bring the book, and the book of remembrance was opened, and he asked what has been done for him. Please, when they open our files, let it not be empty. Like, you get, be loving, be a giver. Did we see Dorcas? Scripture says that the only reason they wanted Dorcas to come back to life was because she had been good to people. Like, at least have something to your advantage. If it's that you wake up early and you are the person that will open the office, that's an advantage. Such that, do you know that the first time I wanted to take leave that was beyond my leave days, the only question my boss asked one question. He said that, has Clementina ever missed work? I think at that time I'd done like 3 years. I'd never missed work in a day. The implication of me not being in the office would be that I was either on an official assignment or I was on leave. Once my boss confirmed that I'd never missed work, said, let her go. As in, I did not expect that was the question my manager was going to ask. She asked, she said, has Clementina ever missed work? And my boss went to the record and said, no, she had never missed work. So I'm saying that anything can be used to our advantage. And I said that here, unbelieving king and unbelieving nation, none of that changed. Like, it did not change Joseph. The fact that he was in Egypt did not change him. The fact that Esther was married to that king, it did not change her. She was still a child of God. She still fasted. She still prayed, and God still used her. I said number three, it is about the mission of saving lives. And I've explained this when I looked at Joseph, I looked at Esther, and I also referenced Jesus. And I said that, finally, God has set up us here for such a time as this. See, if you have ever wondered why you were born in Nigeria, if you have ever wondered why you were born in the family you were born to, if you have ever wondered why you are in this nation at this time, I bring you the word of the Lord that God has sent you ahead for such a time as this. So this morning, as we rise to our feet and we'll pray, what I want us to say that God, I want to see the way you see. You know, Pastor has been teaching us a lot about seeing eyes and hearing ears. But I think that for us to effectively function in this space we are in, we need to see the matter the way God is seeing it. If God comes to you to say that, David, I'm going to establish your house. Oh, God. God is good. Do you know what I just said now? It reminded me of the story of Jonathan. Jonathan knew where God stood on the matter, but he did not stand with God. What happened to him? Please, can we rise to our feet? See, if you choose a position that is not God's position, there is no guarantee, there is no insurance for you. And that is why this morning I want us to pray. The prayer is simple. See, God, I will see the way you see, number one. Two, I will take your position on every matter. People are saying divorce. If God says no, you will stay there. Do you understand? In fact, one of the things God told me about Esther is that if Esther lived in our time, God, we would be part of the people that would have dragged her. Because you are living in, let's say, Prince of Saudi Arabia. We would judge her like you are married to the king of Saudi Arabia, number one. Is an unbelieving king. # something something. We will say that one. We say, Shebi, you have access to. Because there's a way our mind is conditioned to see things in our way. But God, as long as God was concerned, God was the one that sent her there. And as long as she was fulfilling God's will in that scenario, God was happy with her. Can we say in the name of Jesus, Lord, you would open my eyes to see the way you see. In the name of Jesus, I have your perception to the matters. Like what God is saying about your marriage, that is what you will say. What God is saying about your kids, that is what you will say. What God is saying about your career, that is what you will say. What God is saying about your ministry, that is what you will say. You may not like be conscious of it initially, but just create an atmosphere that allows you to listen to God's word. I just want us to pray finally that God, I would see your word and it will minister to me. Do you understand? He said the word of God came to them and it became life to them. I think another place he says the word I speak to you, their spirit and their life. So if we receive the word of God, right, that means our spirit is revived and we can live. Do you understand? Can we pray in the name of Jesus that the word of the Lord will come to us? We would embrace the word of God. The word of God will settle in our hearts and it will give unto us spirit and life in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you because the entrance of your word gives life and understanding. And we say in the name of Jesus that your word will give us spirit. It will give us life. We would have life and we would have it abundantly in the name of Jesus.